I don't know what it is about me. I don't know what it is about my life. But a lot of formative moments in my life, a lot of deeply ingrained memories of my life have happened in a pasture or a field. And I think about this. For you kiddos here, who's in elementary school? I grew up, my house was surrounded by acres and acres of land, and I would have the freedom to leave the house with a BB gun or a fishing pole, and I would go on adventures, epic adventures. I'd cross a road and cross a field to get to my grandpa's fishing pond that had these massive catfish in it. And as an 8-year-old, I was pulling catfish out of a pond by myself in the middle of a field, and it was beautiful and it was awesome. And then there's the time, 4th of July, I think of, where my brother Mike shot a bottle rocket at my head. Oh, don't worry. It's worse than you think. I ducked because I saw it coming. It was making this sound. So I ducked, and this bottle rocket whoosh, flies right past my head. And then the unbelievable happens. The unbelievable. So it goes past my head, over a fence, and into the road. And then somehow, magically, miraculously, one of the awesomest things that have ever happened in my life happened. There was an old man driving down the road, and the back window of his car was open. And somehow, the bottle rocket just perfectly went into the back window of the car as it was driving down Schweitzer Road. It was amazing. He wrecked his car. This little VW bug. Pop. We had to get him out of the ditch, which was really weird. He was angry at us. We should probably pray, just so we can move on from that. So I've got more stories. But let's pray. Father God, I echo the words that we would understand based on the lives that we find ourselves living this morning, your truth. That based on the circumstances, the places that we are in life, that we would see you, that you would overcome the difficulties in our lives, that you would be the source and the hope in our lives. And so we ask for that, we pray for that. Would you speak to us this morning? Would you make it simple and not necessarily easy, but simple for us to understand today? We love you, God. Amen. Well, I think it's fitting that Tim asked me to speak to you guys today. And first of all, can I just say that I love Tim? And he's not even here, so I'm not getting any street cred for this. I love Tim, and you guys are blessed and honored to have him as your pastor. You have no idea how grateful you should be that this man is leading you. He's humble. He's wise. He's funny. He cares. I love Tim Suttle. And I also love this church. I love hearing one of my first questions whenever I see Tim, whenever we get together, is tell me what is happening at Redemption. And I love hearing the ground, the kingdom ground that you guys are covering. The things you are doing, you give hope to other believers. You give hope to other churches in this city because of the things that you are doing in the name of Jesus. And I love that. So, awesome that I'm here talking to you guys. And then also, I just would want to give a shout out to my people, my church, the people I do life with, who have supported me, the men and women who stand in the gap with me and my wife, who are here tonight or today too. They're back there somewhere. They're back there. Just here to be my fan club and to cheer me on, maybe to mock me later. I don't know. But I couldn't do life without them. I know it. I couldn't do life without them. And so, it's fitting. Does anyone know what today is? It's Sunday. Yeah, thank you for you smart people out there. I guess you ask a dumb question, you get no. You know what today is? It's a holiday.
Kansas Day.
It was 1861 that Kansas was accepted into the Union on this day as a state. And I am about as Kansas as you can get. Born and bred Kansas, I've never lived anywhere else. I love Kansas. Does anyone else love Kansas? It's okay to admit it. I grew up with people and they're like, I can't wait to get out of this place, but I love Kansas. We live in a beautiful, beautiful area of the country. I mean, I grew up in it. I ate it up. I lived in it. I can't get enough of it. One of my favorite things is just to drive in the country and experience this place that I am blessed to live in. And so I'm happy it's Kansas Day. And I want to talk about pasture. And I want to talk about land. And can we put a picture up, first of all, just of Kansas and its beauty? So hopefully it's coming. Look at that. Now, there's no oceans, no beaches, but that's amazing. I just want to run through that field. I would look totally stupid, but I want to do it. When Tim asked me to talk, he said you guys would be talking about stories of Jesus and or words of Jesus that change the way we think, that change our lives. And I said, I know exactly what I have to talk about. Because I felt like God, at that time, had just told me what I was supposed to be studying, what I was supposed to be learning. Little did I know I would be talking about it in front of people. This was just for me, but this was just between me and God. And I was reading in John chapter 10. I want to read it to you guys, with you guys, in the New Living Translation right now. But I was reading, and it says this. Jesus is explaining a parable he just told. So he tells this parable, and the people around him, and his disciples, they say, huh? And so he goes, okay, let me explain what I meant. And this is what Jesus says in explanation of this parable. He said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate, and those who come in through me will be saved. And they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. And the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I don't know how it works, but when I know when God speaks to me, and it's almost as if in my brain or on the page that I'm reading, God highlights a word or a phrase. And for me, when I was reading this, the word good pastures was highlighted. And I knew deep down inside, God was saying, I want you to focus on that. That's it. That's where I want you studying. That's what I want you thinking about. That's where I want you to go, because I have a nugget of truth. I have something that will set you free in that word and that phrase. So, when the Creator, God of the universe, tells me to do something, I try to do it. I usually do it. And so I started studying it. And it was just at that same time, Tim was like, hey, would you speak? And would you speak about something Jesus said or did? And I was like, yes. I want to talk about good pasture. And I also want to tell you, I have no clue what that means. And so I want to talk about it. And I'll tell you why I want to talk about good pasture. And if we're just being just downright honest, I think that phrase jumped out at me. I think God highlighted that phrase for me because I am not living in good pasture right now. You know, Jesus says that he came so that people could have this life that's rich and satisfying. Well, that's great and awesome for the people that have that life, but what about me when I honestly sometimes feel like from the depths of my heart that I am living a life that is depleted and unfulfilled? Now, I don't need to raise a show of hands. I don't need anyone to raise their hand, but my guess is that there are people here this morning that are living lives that feel depleted and unfulfilled. And if that's you this morning, I just need you to know, I am with you. I am in it. I am sitting in it. And it's hard. And I'm sorry.
and I have less answers than I have questions. But I just need you to know, from what I understand of God and from what I've studied, it's okay. And it's going to be okay. Now, there's probably some of you, and I hope there's some of you, that are saying, you know what, my life is rich and full and awesome right now, and I love it, and God is good. And I would say this, amen. I love that. We need that. I've had those times in my life. We need to hear your stories. We need to hear how God is breaking through in your life every day. We need those stories and that truth to get us through. We need it. You know, thinking back about pastor and pastor stories, I've had good pastor moments in pastors, which is really cool. There's this moment where my family and I had been on vacation. I just stepped away from ministry after 16 years of ministry this past summer, and not knowing what God had in store for us. And we went on a vacation, and it was just epic. We went to the Badlands. We went to Mount Rushmore. We went to the mountains and just roughed it in the mountains. We were in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, and it was beautiful, and it was awesome. And you know that, like, last hour of your trip home? Like, when you're an hour from home, and it turns, like, into the longest hour of your life? Because your kids are in the car, and they've been fighting. You know that hour. It takes forever. We were 1 hour from home. We were getting gas, and my wife said, we should stop by and see your parents. And we were all ready to get home. So I was like, woman, what has become of you? Who are you? And I actually felt the same. I was like, we should stop by and see my parents. So we called them, Mom, Dad, what's going on? Hey, we're about an hour from home, but we're real close to you. Could we stop by and see you? And my mom started crying and started talking about how all of these things were happening and going wrong at their house at that moment. And I knew it was a God moment that we called them. That my wife even had the sense to know that we should call my parents. And one of my dad's bulls was sick and had disappeared. Had been gone for days. My dad's getting old and he can't walk. And he was really worried about this bull and didn't know what to do. And so I said, Dad, don't worry, I'll come and I'll help you find this bull. And so that night, my wife and I went around all of his pastures looking for this bull, couldn't find it. The next morning, I got up early, the sun was just rising, it was beautiful out in these pastures, and I was looking for this bull, every nook and cranny, you know, acres and acres, 200 acres of land trying to find a bull. And finally, I find this bull, and he's hunkered down under a bunch of trees, and he doesn't want to get up, and he doesn't want to move, and I'm like shooing him up, and he's 15 times the size of me. And he's angry. So I finally get him. I walk him almost a mile up to my dad's corral. And at the last moment, he decides he wants to go back to where he was. And I'm standing in between, like, no, don't go. And then I got out of the way and let him go. And so I went and got my wife and my dad, and we kind of all got him back up there again. And I was cut up by brush and thorns. I was going through this thicket trying to get him up into this corral, sweaty. I was out of breath because I was out of shape and I was muddy. And there was this moment in my dad's corral in Stoll, Kansas, where I just felt like the world was right. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun. The world just felt right. And I felt in that moment that God was good. What's funny is I was probably about a few pastors over from a moment in my life where I felt that the world was wrong. My dad was in high school, and my dad and I had been tracking this cow that was giving birth. And she'd been giving birth all day long, and we were worried for this calf because, you know, it needed to come out, and we were worried for its life. And finally, late at night, it was probably midnight, we got hold of this cow. We were able to pull the calf. So this little stringy, gangly, wet, gross animal is there on the ground and it's not breathing. So I reached down into its throat and cleared its throat with my hand. And kind of tucked my coat around it, and I'm sitting, literally sitting, in this pasture, holding this baby calf. And my dad hops in his truck and takes off. He's got to go get some antibiotics for the mother and get some stuff for this calf. And it's starting to snow. It's freezing cold. It's pitch black. And it's just me and this calf that's shivering and cold and wet. And I hear coyotes. And I don't know if you've ever heard coyotes, but they make the creepiest sounds you've ever heard. Sounds like little babies crying or something, and they're getting closer and closer. They're literally circling us in the same field as I'm in with this calf. They smell this new calf, and they want it, and they're getting closer and closer, and I have this thought. Yeah, I don't even know why I have this thought, because it's not true, but I have this thought. Maybe my dad forgot about me. Maybe he just got in his truck and went home. And he doesn't even remember that I'm out here. And where's my father? Why is he taking so long? Sure enough, he showed up and the calf was fine. I survived. I know you're worried, but I'm still here. I survived. And the calf was fine. But that's a moment where I was wondering about whether or not life was good. I was actually confronted with the idea that we live in a fatal world. I was confronted with this concept of fear, of how big and how dark this world is that we live in. And that's the place I find myself living in today. And so I asked the question of God, and this is where I started pressing into, what is good pasture? I want that. I need it. What is it? And I found this about myself. Because when I ask questions, usually I get an aha, like, duh answer. And good pasture is pretty simple. We know it when we feel it, right? It's when life is good. It's like Jesus said, it's when we feel like we're living lives that are rich and satisfying. And so I started to begin to realize that maybe my idea of what rich and satisfying is not God's idea. Yeah, I was thinking about sheep. And you take a sheep and you put it in the middle of a pasture all by itself, surrounded by woods and hills, and it's a sitting duck. Now, students, I mean that it's not really a duck. It's still a sheep. But it's a sitting duck because at any point an enemy could come out of the woods and eat it. It could be in the most lush, green, beautiful hillside ever. And because it doesn't have other sheep around it, it doesn't have a shepherd, it is not in good pasture. Does that make sense? So good pasture doesn't always mean that life is great. And so then it starts jacking with my brain, and I don't know what to do with that, and I start asking more questions. Because I know people that experience good pasture when they have nothing. I know people that are going through hard times, and they're experiencing good pasture. So what do I do with that? It's interesting, this phrase pasture or greener pastures happens all throughout Scripture. And it happens in the Old Testament a lot. And the overall idea that the Hebrews carried when they thought of green pasture or good pasture was simply this. And I'll read a quote to you from this book I was reading. It says, green pastures in David's times. King David wrote the Psalms. King David was a shepherd. Green pastures in David's times were bare, rocky hills with just enough vegetation to sustain the sheep for that day. The sheep were dependent upon the shepherd to lead them to the forage that they would need for the next day. Green pastures for the ancient Israelites were symbolic of the fact that they could trust God for their daily sustenance. Green pastures meant that they had enough for this day and that they could trust God for tomorrow's portion. So green pasture and good pasture has to do with trusting God. It's interesting. It has to do with God's protection, which is awesome, and I want that. There's this Greek word that's used. It's actually a noun, nome, and it means lots of things, but the way it's used in this passage, it just means a place to feed, a place to eat. You know, and shepherds would say that a green, lush field for sheep, they can grow like 100 pounds in the spring. A baby lamb to the time the spring is over in a green, dense, lush pasture can grow 100 pounds. And what sheep will do is they'll chew their cud, so they'll just lay there chilling after they ate all morning and just keep chewing that food over and over. It's kind of gross, but they do it. And they rest and they grow. And they rest and they grow. And so, good pasture is a place where we grow. It's where we consume. And then I started asking the question, well, what is it that we consume? And I would just say, it simply means this. That it is a truth in which man is instructed. A place to feed, a place to grow, a place which sustains man's spiritual life. That's what pasture represents. So then I have some hard work to do. Why am I not feeding? Why am I not growing? Why am I not feeling like God is sustaining my spiritual life? And I start to think that it probably has more to do with me than God. And so, I quickly got to the point where I'm asking the wrong question. The question is not, what is good pasture? Because I'll know it when I feel it, I'll know it when I'm there. The question is, how do I get there? And that's what I'd love to talk about for the rest of the time, is how do we get there? In John 10, chapter 2, I'm sorry, John 10, verses 2 through 4, it says this. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. So how do you get there? Well, you hear God's voice and you follow him there. Really simple. That's how you get there. I didn't say it was easy. What's hard about that is, how do I know that I'm hearing God's voice? How do I know where he's leading me? How do I get there? I don't know about you, but I just wonder sometimes who we are following. There were a lot of people last November, I'm going to get political for just a second, hopefully it'll be all right, who were following lots of voices. But I see hopelessness and despair because they weren't following Jesus' voice. On all sides of the aisle. Who are we following? Whose voice are we listening to? I listen to my voice all the time. You know, I had this thought, like, God wants me to do ministry. I really believe this. And so my thought was, well, I just need to go make a lot of money so I can go get set up to do ministry, and that's what I need to be doing. And that was all my voice. And now I find myself in a season where I'm working in the corporate world, and I'm unfulfilled and unsatisfied, and we're making money. But I was following my voice and not Jesus' voice. And Jesus is still telling me, no, I want you serving people. I want you trusting me, not your own self. And I have to realize that a good shepherd is what we need. So we need to hear his voice and we need to follow him. And here's who we should be following. Is the example of Jesus and a good shepherd. In Matthew 18, it says, if a man has 100 sheep, and this is Jesus' own words, and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it's not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. There is a desperateness on God's part as a good shepherd to seek out those who are lost. Like I'm looking for a bull somewhere on my dad's property, or I'm trying to find this calf that's about to be born. There is a desperateness to seek and save the lost sheep. That is a good shepherd. A good shepherd is the type of person that runs into danger to save his sheep. Jesus talks about this too. He talks about how a good shepherd would do anything for a sheep. If you look back in John, where I've been studying and pressing into this good pastor thing, it says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. And the hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. We have a good shepherd in Jesus who sacrificed his life for us. And he sacrifices his life for us over and over and over again. And I lose sight of that all the time. So I'm thinking about me and what's in it for me. Or, what's even scarier, is I'm following someone else's lead that runs away when times get tough. Chasing the mighty dollar or chasing a political system. And when times get tough, they're gone. They're like, oh, wolf, see ya. And then I'm attacked. So I got to ask a question of myself. Do I believe in a good shepherd? Do I need a good shepherd? This is where I have more questions than I have answers. And I'm sorry, but it's true. And I have some questions for us this morning. I just want to go over them. And one of these, my hope and my desire is that one of these questions will name where you are at in this process and that you can hold on to it, you can write it down, you can take it with you, you can wrestle with it this week, next week, for the rest of your life. I don't know what God has in it for you. But this is my hope, and these are the questions I'm asking and trying to get my mind wrapped around. And I think of people in my life, people who I know who are struggling just as well. I know they're asking the same questions, and these are the questions I want to ask of them. Whose voice are you listening to? At the end of the day, when it all boils down to it, when you really are honest with yourself, deep in your soul, whose voice are you listening to? Who or what are you following? I guarantee you this. If you're not listening to Jesus, and if you're not following him, you will not experience good pasture. Who do you put your trust in? Can you trust a good shepherd to provide for you every day? Do you know the voice of Jesus? Do you know what it sounds like in your heart, in your head? How do you know if God's talking to you? Do you hear him calling for you? I promise you he is. Every day, all the time, calling for you, looking for you, seeking for you. Calling his sheep. Do you hear that? Maybe you just need to be reminded that he is. Can you trust him to provide for you? Are you okay with what he provides for you? Is it enough? And can you trust him to protect you? I just sense that there are people who are under attack and are full of despair.
and they're desperate. And can you trust Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to protect you? I had this epiphany as I was prepping for this talk, thinking through my own life and my own stories. There was this time when I was like 16, I was in high school, and my dad and I were tracking this cow all day long because she was giving birth. And she had this calf, and finally we were able to get a hold of her late at night. It was probably midnight or so. It was cold. We pulled this calf. And I kind of sat on the ground and had it wrapped in my coat, and I cleared its throat, and it breathed its first breath. And it experienced good pasture. It was a cold, dark, nasty night, and it experienced good pasture because there was a shepherd, a good shepherd, that wouldn't let anything happen. Who had a father that cared about him. And so sometimes my perception needs to be tweaked about what good pasture is. It's my hope that we could be reminded of that. That we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who allows us to breathe our breath, who holds us close, who protects us from an enemy that's just circling in and desires to destroy us. And that's my hope for you. And I want to close in this way. I want to pray and give us a moment to reflect on what God might be saying to us. But then I want to read a passage, a very famous passage that Jesus would have even been thinking of and thinking through when he said these famous words in John. And I've tweaked it just a little bit because it's what I need to hear. And instead of I put the word you in there. As if someone is saying it to me. Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand our need for a good shepherd. Help us to understand how to find good pasture by following, by hearing and following the good shepherd. God, convict us of all the ways in our lives where we hear other voices and follow other voices, where we sin against you by doing other than your will, going different ways than you long for us to go. God, may we hear your cries for us. May we come back running to you. Would we begin to understand and comprehend just how good you are?